Happened with Reef Bum is sponsored by Champion Lighting and Supply, Polo Reef, and Fauna Marine.
Hey, what's happening, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Rapping with Reef Bum. I'm your host, Keith Berkelhammer. So today on the live stream, I have the pleasure of welcoming Leng Tsai from Ecosystem Aquarium to the show. How are you doing there, Leng? Thank you so much for joining us tonight.
I'm doing well, Keith, and thanks for having me, and thanks to everyone that joined us too. So I'm good.
And I'm really looking forward to the conversation there, Leng. You have quite a background, fascinating reef keeping journey. So I think we'll dig into a bunch of topics. Just for those that don't know, Leng, and this is quite a story, Leng. In 1979, Leng, who was of Chinese descent, fled Vietnam with his family through Cambodia to a refugee camp in Thailand to pursue freedom and find opportunity. In early May 1981, Leng and his family arrived in the U.S. speaking broken English and with not a penny to their name. Thanks to the kindness and support of the people of Cambridge, Wisconsin, the U.S. government, and his uncle Lim, who was once in the Cambodian Navy, and his family, Leng and his family were able to pick themselves up and start new lives in this wonderful new country. In the summer of 1989, Leng graduated from UCLA with a degree in mathematics and a minor in pre-med. Although he had been interested in keeping fish since he was a child, it was in 1987 that Leng was introduced to the hobby by his older brother and then later by his classmate, Claude Nanjo. It was the first time he had ever seen marine tropical fish. Currently, Leng is the president and CEO of Ecosystem Aquarium, and we'll be talking about that as well. But before we start chatting with Leng, I want to take care of some business and thank the sponsors of this show. My sponsors are really important to me because they make the show possible with their support, and that means a lot since I want to continue to bring on such awesome guests to help foster a learning environment on the show. Champion Lighting and Supply. Besides being a place for hobbyists to purchase saltwater aquarium supplies online, Champion Lighting is also a wholesale distributor for many popular brands. If you own an aquarium store or an aquarium service company, contact Champion Lighting through their website at championlighting.com to set up a wholesale account. And Polo Reef. Make sure to check out Polo Reef's new YouTube video that drops this Friday and the new Polo podcast with Chad Clayton from Reef Nutrition. They dive into phytoplankton and copepods. They discuss the various species, the importance of nutritional diversity, and their 3 million gallon phyto and pod operation. Whoa, that's big. Make sure to subscribe to their YouTube channel at Polar Reef for video drop notifications. My third sponsor is Fauna Marine. I do use the Fauna Marine Reef ICP Total Test Kit, which gives a quick, accurate, and easy overview of over 90 water values in reef aquariums for macro elements, trace elements, and pollutants. You get a complete overview with corresponding dosage and action recommendations. I am now a certified Fauna Marine ICP test advisor, so if you want help interpreting your results, then select Reef Bum. You can also purchase the ICP test kits as well as other Fauna Marine products at reefbum.com. All right, so Leng, you have been in the reef keeping hobby a very, very long time. As I was reading in the bio, many people know your name from the Leng Tsai Montipora cap, which is a gorgeous, gorgeous green Monty cap with a purple rim. You're also known for Miracle Mud. Can you just give us an overview, Leng, of your reef keeping journey? We know it began in 1987, but can you just provide a few details in terms of how you got to this point in your reef keeping journey career?
When I start this hobby is from my brother. He bought a 10-gallon glass of cream from swap meet with a bag of goldfish. Okay, and so I don't know much about anything, so I just add tap water into the tank and start adding the fish and all that. And a few days later, just go like the new people. the water become a little cloudy, white cloudies, and I thought, well, I need to change water. And every time I change water, then a few goldfish dies and all of that. So, and I progress really fast when I see the tropical fish. I see the so I set up a small tank, 45 gallon, and just keep doing the same thing. So at the time when I came into the hobby, the wet dry filter I never seen, and the protein skimmer I never seen, because I live in Chinatown in Los Angeles, and I commute to UCLA at the time. So when I start all of this is underground filters. You know, the first marine tank that I acquired is a 240-gallon tank. And
that was your first marine tank, 240 gallons. That's going big right off the bat.
and the money I scrapped to buy that tank is from the student loan.
Oh, boy. So, you were addicted at that point.
I was addicted to the aquarium, yes. And I don't see a lot of coral at the time. And it's just we stop at, you know, marine fish. And I like angel fish and I like butterfly fish. And, you know, every time I put those fish into the tank, a few days, a few weeks later, they all, you know, they die. They get sick, they die and all that. So, you know, but it's so I went through a lot. And I don't hear anything about the plenum system at the time. No idea.
You're talking about the sand plenum.
Well, yeah, they call the plenum system. You know, later on they changed to the deep sand bed. And
right.
And yeah, in the beginning I do the deep sand, you know, with the underground filter. So I put pores and all. That's 1989. That's when I do that.
Where did you get that idea from? Who gave you that idea? Was that just something?
In the old day, this is what I keep telling people because I do not know. Okay, I said in early December 1989 when I was attending the graduate school at UCLA mathematics, because I want to pursue PhD before I go to MD, I have a dream. That's what I keep telling people. Okay, and the days I know because it's not a dream. It's not a voice from internal. And what the experience that I know now, Kate, is our Lord of Lord has given that to me. Okay, our Lord of Lord. Because everything that he let me know something is called internal, not a dream, not a voice.
Lang, you're sort of breaking up a little bit there. Maybe lean into the phone a little bit more. Yeah, okay, awesome.
So, I did not know all of that. So, yeah, keep telling I have a dream, the dreams and all that. But no, it's not. It's he gave that to me. I wish I could say this is my ideas and all of that. But no. The credit has to be given to what it need to be, okay? And he did not tell me what to do. The decision to do or not to do rests on me. And from there, I take on to do experiment myself, try this, try that. And in 1989, I also get married. So I did not do anything, and we moved from Los Angeles, Chinatown to Dana Point at the time. So until 1990, when I get to Dana Point, then I start to do the experiment, play with that concept, experiment with the filter. So I can say this, I have self-taught myself for over 30 years to study this. Okay, self-taught. There's no literatures that I read. And there's no one who can tell me what to do there because there's nothing. And the first group of tank that I said, I used my old 240-gallon tank in the restaurant, set up in the restaurant. And I get some base rock from Black Rolls in Santa Ana at the time, and mainly LPS and soft coral, because I never seen any SPS yet. And
this was in 87?
That's in 1990.
Okay.
Yeah, we go through a little bit here. And so it's doing well. And never change any water either. So I never add any mineral attitude, nothing. It's never changed water, just siphon out the junk, the detritus from the bare bottom. So, and the, you know, never changed water. All that detritus is going to filter flops, and all the old water going back to the tank. So not a drop of water that's been taken out of there. And a group of tanks like doing that. And then 1993, I don't want to do a restaurant anymore. So he broke that tank down and moved to the tropical fish store that I opened up in 1993, summer 1993 when I opened up. And set up another group of tanks, a 600-gallon tank and the 120-gallon tank. And then do the same thing. Do not do any water change again for those second group. And they're still doing fine, but you know, we don't understand about the phosphate and all that. And then, you know, from my, you know, then I start to see the polyp on the large polyp stone. They start to pull away from the skeleton. And that's because when high concentration of phosphate in your tank, it's inhibit the calcification. So the coral skeleton cannot grow, and that's why the large polyp of the LPS is skip out from the skeleton. Well, we did not know all of that until later on. So in 1996, that's when I had to move again from that tropical place, moving to Irvine office, and I set up a 400-gallon tank in the summer 1996. And that's when I asked Steve Tyree to come and look at it.
Steve Tyree.
You know, because I met him, I heard of him, that, you know, and I visit his tank, you know, when he lived by Sunset by UCLA. 180-gallon tank. You know, it's a lot of stony coral. That's the first time I've seen Brian in 1994 when I see his tank. So when I moved to Irvine, I asked him, you know, I asked him to work with me, but not to let him do anything. I do everything so he can watch. That's all it is. Well, at the time, I don't see a lot of Acropora, mostly Montipora.
Yep.
And that's what my talk about. He see a lot of Montiporas in my tank, and I kept angelfish in the reef tanks in El Toro in a 600-gallon tank, and so I did in a 400-gallon tank, and yeah, but I did take the picture, the video tape of that tank, and. I never used any mineral additives, anything in that tank. And the calcium I added to that, I hook up a 40-gallon tank and connect to the filters and water drip, you know, put into that 40-gallon tank. And in that 40-gallon tank, I just put the hot water. And later on, when I come to see from Steve Tyree, one day I read the article in Fish, so Mike. I asked Steve Tyree if he knows Mike, and I said, yeah, he knows. So I asked Steve to get Mike in. So Mike and I met at the end of 1997.
This is Paletta?
Yes, Mike Paletta. And so we did not understand about the phosphate and all of that, but if you look at the video that we shoot on that 400-gallon tank, you see a lot of coralline algae grow on the glass and all of that. And, you know, to this day, I think the reason that the coral keep growing, we have coralline algae, even though the phosphate might be high, we don't have any phosphate removed then, it's maybe it's the pH in that tank. It's always stay at, you know, minimum is 8.2. Mm. During the day, it can go up to about 8.4, 8.5.
Yeah, that's a great range.
So, and that's, you know, kids, is because the refugium light, that's what people talk about, I turn on 24/7. And the reason I do that, because in the early day in 1985 or so, when I, you know, when it was in my biology class at UCLA, and that's what I hear from the professor, he do the experiments on the terrestrial plant. The experiment, when he, you know, put the light on the plant 24/7, they just grow faster.
The and light, to keeping the light 24/7 on the refugium?
No, on the his terrestrial plant. That
okay.
Okay, 24/7 on a refugium, so what? It's no big deal. They just grow faster. And also, the whole thing is, you know, when you have light on a refugium, the calopas also continue to do photosynthesis. So basically, they take in CO2 and spit out oxygen. That's what it had to stabilize the pH. And now to this day, you know, we can grow Chittamorpha, and with this filter, you can harvest that, you know, once every 2-3 weeks, you can sell it, okay? And so the whole thing, it took me about 6 years to experiment different substrates and all of that, and I settled this in 1996, the substrate that I used. And when I patented it, the filter, I call this a miracle month, because a lot of things so miracle, because you cannot keep a lot of fish in the boiling system, as you see, but in our tank you can keep a lot of fish.
So let me see if I completely understand what how these tanks were set up. So basically it was a wet dry trickle filtration, was no,
in the first chamber I put the wet dry, no, the bio ball.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bio balls.
I never used protein skimmer before. Okay.
So no protein skimmer.
No protein skimmer. That's the first group of tank. The second group of tank, the third group of tank, I never used any protein skimmer. And so it's just the first chamber I put bio ball in there. So all the protein, it will be converted to nitrate. And then from there, the nitrate, the refuge, the mud part is going to fix the nitrate to nitrogen, oxygen, the plant take all of that, some nitrate and some phosphate. And but the problem is that we feed fish a lot, the food that convert into a lot of phosphate.
And there was no water changes in this system?
No water change.
Mm. Wow.
I only siphon the detritus, and going back to the filter thing, and you know, with the filter plugs to trap the,
yep,
the and all the water going back. So
and sand in the display tank?
No sand,
bare bottom.
Yeah, because I have a lot of tanks. I want to take it easy. I don't want to cause a lot of mess. So it's just bare bottom. And
that was kind of a rare thing back then, right? I mean, most reef tanks that I've seen pictures of, or when I started the hobby, everybody was using sand. Bare bottom really wasn't a thing.
Like I say, Kate, no one tell me anything. It's just go.
you were a maverick back then.
Well, I don't, you know, I don't talk about it. I don't see it. Okay, good tank. That's all it is. And it's just like, a few years ago, I told Mike, I graduated from UCLA with mathematics degree and pre-med, but he did not hear mathematics. He only hear pre-med. I said, pre-med, he's mocking at me a little bit. I said, send him the certificate. So, no, I don't want to talk about it. Okay, that's the thing, but I think it's time for me to talk about it right now, because that's why I say this interview is historical, because what I want to introduce to the world right now is the ecosystem filter. Okay, we have the Berlin filter out there that we use for Reaper Crim, and we have wet dry system that we use for fish, and you know they can play around. And now we have the ecosystem filter, which is the better filter than those two. That's for sure. Okay. And from what I studied in 2011, 2013 in El Toro, you can find what's the best filter for marine aquarium, the reefer aquariums, and so on, so on. Because I test four different filters. We can talk about later. But the reason I say the better filter to the protein skimmer, the Berlin system, is that in the Berlin protein skimmer three tank, we have to play a chemist. We have to balance the water chemistry. We have to add phytoplankton. We have to add, pot and all of that. And we have to add a chemical additive. But in the ecosystem filter, no. We don't add any chemical additive. We don't add any phytoplankton. And the zooplankton is reproduced. It sustained the growth of that.
So this is a natural ecosystem.
It's a natural ecosystem. And you can add, you can have a lot more fish in the system than the Berlin system, than everything. And the best part of that too is the tank getting larger and larger. The cost of a filtration system, when you set up with the ecosystem filter or the concept, become cheaper and cheaper. Okay, and that's going along with the larger aquarium like Andrew Polo Reef or Joe Viola. That's going to be, later on. That's I'm going to. The breakthrough for home aquarium, we already done that through the ecosystem filter. There's different application later on coming out. But for the larger aquarium like that, I have to show so people can see, then they know. But right now, I don't have any means to do that.
So, Lang, with the ecosystem filter, is live rock recommended, or can you start with some dry rock in that equation?
To be honest with you, the dry rock that we see today, I never used it before, because at the time, I kind of walked away from this business early 2012 when I was pursuing the aquaponic, when I met the gentleman, Tom Grimms, and I walked away pursuing that, but I'm coming back. But things change. I never used the dry rock before. I only used live rock. But I see a lot of people set up the tank with dry rock, no problem. So I don't have any.
But one of your buddies, Greg Carroll, is watching, and I know he set up his tank with dry rock.
Yeah, I see a lot. The Baker Reef do all the dry rock. Well, nowadays everyone do like the dry rock. So, and they're doing fine. And I don't have any experience on that, so I cannot say much about it. But I see a lot of tank stepping out there using the ecosystem filter. They use dry rock like everyone else.
Alex Correa is watching. Hey, Alex. Hello, gentlemen. Today we see so many people talking about trace and minor elements dosage. The addition of Miracle Mud could be one of the best ways to add those elements in natural way. I'm glad Mr. Sai is talking about the product. There is no need for tests and naturally balanced, I would think. This is a certainly a departure from modern reef keeping, right, Len?
Well, I'm telling you what I've been doing it and that's what I'm saying. I never used any additive trace element anything before, up until now when I use the ecosystem filter. But if people want to use it, yeah, well, you can try. All I take care lately is just the calcium, you know, magnesium and alkalinity, because as the coral grow, you know, alkalinity tend to go down. So, and but in terms of additive trace element, no, I never use it, indeed. And I use one thing that I use, our product called a reef solution or the fish solution. And what's the benefit of that? You know, when we combine one of our solutions, multi-mineral, multi-vitamin, with the ecosystem filter, the miracle mud, somehow we can keep marsh idol alive, but one per tank, one per tank. And that's why, you know, I say that marsh idol requirement is a lot more to the environment. Not talking the big tank, small tank, when I test it, it's in a 40-gallon tank, you know, marsh idol with the Imperial Angel with the head and lateral line erosion, HLLA, that we take the picture and put on our label, okay? And so when we use, because in the early test, 1998, when I test that, and you can keep marsh idol, but when you put multiple marsh idol in the tank, yeah, they kill each other at night. So, but one, no problem. But it has to be both, whatever, one of our solution and the miracle not combined.
So, like, in terms of the ecosystem, okay, so you mentioned that miracle mode is a part of that. What exactly is also part of that filtration system? Are bio balls in that first chamber in that ecosystem?
No.
No, okay.
Bio ball is just, okay, you have it, use it. It's more like a wet-dry filter, convert everything to nitrate fast. But later on, I add the first chamber a little bigger so we can put the protein skimmer in there. And, okay, put protein skimmer in there, but what's the best time to run a protein skimmer? How many times you need you should run to maximize this filtration? If you don't want to use bio-ball, there's no problem. It's the mud, you see, keep the mud itself, the miracle mud, we have the amount of mud that we need for size the filter. And when I design the filter itself, I take into the account now the volume of the water from the main tank, 1 inch, because power failures is happen. The pump failures happen. I just want to make sure that the content, the filter can handle the excess water from the main tank we want in from the pump, so we don't have overspill water into the floor. And from that, we just calculate how much money you need for a filter. Like for up to 75 gallons, we need 10 pounds. 100 gallons, we need about, you know, 30-40 pounds, and 120, we need, you know, it's the size. It's so up to like 250 gallon, you need only about 40.
Lang, you're breaking up there a little bit.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, there we go.
I need to sit closer.
Stay closer to the phone. So Alex is Korea is wondering, what are the chemical benefits of the miracle mud?
The chemical benefit. He's talking about the trace element, all of that.
I guess, yeah. You know, in terms of what, you know, how I. Well, I guess my question would be, and I'm not sure exactly if this is what Alex is wondering, if you're not going to need to do any trace element dosing, how is the mud providing that? I see that okay. Nick is saying that mineralization and dissolved metals due to bacteria breakdown of the elements in the mud.
No. I got this, bought this from Mexico, and we blend in ourselves, all of that. So it's just that. And the whole thing is the mineral, the additive, and all that leach out over time as the water passing over. And this is coming down to, like, you know, people do a lot of ICP tests, and the coral really growing. It looked perfect. But the problem that we're running to is the fish.
The fish.
Is some fish like yellow tang, purple tang, or the hippo blue tang, they start to lose color in the Berlin systems. Okay? And some even develop HLLE in the striving reef aquarium. So, but it's never happened in your system, the ecosystem. And also those fish can be reverse or heal when we remove those fish and put into the ecosystem filter tank.
What about the use of activated carbon? I mean, is that something that you recommend to help with that heal?
No. I used activated carbon before, and I stopped using it because activated carbon, it will absorb everything. And in, when I use it, the first thing, it's not happened to the fish, but the coral start to bleach out some coral. Okay? So if you use activated carbon, you need to use it really sparingly, not a lot. Okay? And if you want to keep your water crystal clear, it's better to use UV sterilizer or ozone. But if you use ozone, you have to use UV sterilizer. So UV sterilizer is a lot more safer for a home aquarium.
Yeah.
But activated carbon, I would say not to use it. But if you use it really sparingly. Okay. Not all the time. Maybe you can do a day or so, a week, but not a lot. It make water crystal clear, but remove a lot of things.
Remove more than what it's supposed to be. Right. Go ahead.
It's just like protein skimmer. We design it to remove the protein, but you know, if there's phytoplankton in the system, it's also remove phytoplankton. That's why you end up adding phytoplankton into the bone.
Are you an advocate of dosing live phyto to a reef tank?
Well, let me say this, Keith. When there's nutrient and a light hit, there's phytoplankton. That's how God created, okay? But all things, what equipment that we use in the Berlin system, that's happening in all system, okay? Not just happening in the ecosystem filter or the Berlin system, it happened in all system. But the problems in the Berlin system, the protein skimmers keep running 24/7, so it keep removing it, okay? In the ecosystem, well, that's, you know, nothing removes, so it's inside the water all the time. And phytoplankton, yeah, it's fed to the coral. And the zooplankton fry. And when we're talking about the zooplankton in the ecosystem filter, it's a little different than the part that they sell on the market, because in early 2014, I bought the Cuxbed Aqua Farm, California here, and we produce those pond, and we bottle it up and sell it to Quality Marine, All Sea, and Sea Dwelling Creature. And the way we do that, we feed them geese every week. Okay, no filter. It's just a big bucket of water, just one air stone, and then we put geese in there. I did not do all of it, but that's what I saw people doing there. So, and for Sunday and Monday, they just took like it and bottle it up and deliver to those wholesalers. So, and the part that they sell in the bottling now is not variety, it's only one type, and they feed geese. And that's what we used to do at Carlsbad. But in terms of zooplankton that exists in the ecosystem filter is variety, and it's big, not small. So So the seahorse can eat. We never have any problem to keep mandarin fish, mandarin goby. Okay? We never have any problem. But even the pot that is, they sell it too small, I think, for the fish to look at it. So I don't know. I don't know. I a little bit I'm coming back, so everything changed. So.
Hey, Leng, so we got a few comments and some questions here from people watching. Alex Correa is wondering, are there any incompatibilities with Miracle Mud? Should we avoid to use any other products in the Miracle Mud system?
I do not know all the answers, Keith, but you try, you see, you don't like it, don't. But I never use anything else. I never add any mineral additives in the bottom. But if you do and you see something change, yeah, it's you, we learn something every day, and I don't do everything, I know everything, all the answers. I only tell you what I have done, and it's well. That's all I can say right now until I have more new tanks set up with different applications.
More research. Mike Sergi using mud for over 10 years with a skimmer once a year, water changes when changing one half the mud with great results. Is there any blueprint for changing out the mud, Lang? I mean,
We found out that, when we tell people to change one third, one half every year to retain the mineral, because they get depleted. But the reason we ask them to do that, so you retain the mineral, but you don't want to take away all the bacteria that live in the mud. So that's why we say change half. That's all right. So from that, we suggest now that if you can put the mud in the tray,
in a tray.
so it's easier for you to do the mud chain later on. And with that tray, now it's coming down to the core farmer. Okay? The core farmer, they set up the tanks and all of that, and they have the system, protein skimmer and all. If they do the mud in the tray, they can put the tray in the core, with the cores, and put the A crate on top. You can grow core on top and no problem there. As long as the water passing over it, it become a denitrated filter, and it has both aerobic and anaerobic bacteria, okay? And it release the minerals and so on and so on. And talking about mineral caters that. That's what I keep telling. Our ICP test machine can read only what we designed them to read. With Miracle Mud, that's why I say it release comprehensive mineral that the ICP machine cannot read. And that's why the color of the fish will always maintain vibrant and reverse the lines and all of that. So that's what I can only explain that I cannot.
What do you think, Lang, are the most important minor and trace elements for corals?
I have no clue.
I appreciate your honesty.
You know a lot more than me there, okay? Mike is a
So in
scientist.
terms of the Miracle Mud, is there a particular formulation based on any research that you've done, or is it just a conglomeration of minors and traces in that mud that get released?
It's trying as you try this, you try that, and the one thing, when he let me know all of this concept, before we don't know about the mineral and all this, okay, how to get the water more healthy, clean is basically if it can reduce the nitrate. We don't understand the denitrate and all that. It's just to make sure the water has less nitrate or whatever there. So, but the mineral and all of that is just common betas and have no. Well, I cannot tell you everything. It's trade secret.
Yeah, don't give away any of your secrets there, Lang.
No.
Nick is wondering, he's asking me if I could ask you about miracle mud use in seahorse systems. Says it's a very interesting concept.
Because our system can sustain the growth of the zooplankton, then we can set up the seahorse tank. It is coming down to a recurring hobby, at least 95% men, correct? 95% men. And a lady is also like this too, but she would not be able to get involved because it's, I don't know, it's too hard, too much time consuming. And so if we can get some of our lady to come into our hobby, then we win, because if the lady wants something, she will get it. We will work hard to get her something, but when we want something, maybe. Okay? So that's my goal, is the seahorse tank. And keeping a seahorse, as you know, you have to feed them constantly.
Live food.
Live food, yeah. And what live food that we have? Right now, the pot, forget it. It is too small. The branching is no nutrition. So, but we need to understand where the seahorse was coming from. They are not coming from the coral reef section. They're coming from the sponge, the turtle seagrass section, maybe some gorgonian. So we need to develop the environment for them like that. And seahorse is a camouflage, so the color bright because the surrounding the environment is bright. So we need to try, this is something new, the sponge, especially the sponge from the Caribbean, and see what it is, and mainly grow the tall seagrass in the middle,
mm-hmm.
sponge around the peripheral, and maybe some ricotta, but not coral, not the frog spawn of Portugal, no, not acropora, no, because that killed them. And we can grow all of this through, from what Roger Whitgo, the Tansy guy, he represents Tansy in the U.S., Roger Whitgo. And he tests, and he should send me the picture of what he grows, this turtle seagrass in his tank. So I say, okay, so we have it. And if you hook that up into the ecosystem filter, then you're going to produce the zooplankton. And that from that, you can keep few seahorse, not a lot. Some mandarin fish, some pipefish. You don't have to feed them anymore. You don't have to feed them anymore. Yes, you have to take care of the zooplankton. It's just feed them something so they can eat and then they can reproduce for the animal that they're living in the tank to feed on. And that's what I see. Okay, I haven't done it yet because I don't have a way to do that yet. I'm working alone, so I don't have any manpower to do that. But yeah, we are going to do that. And so with the ecosystem filter, with the proper setup like that, you can keep seahorse, a few of them, so they can live off in the tank. You don't have to feed them live food or frozen food anymore. Just take care of the zooplankton.
Well, Heron Aquatics, what does Lang recommend for removing phosphates using his method?
In Italy, my friend Mauro, he set up two tanks that long time ago, Deltex tank and one with the ecosystem. And he grow a lot of calopla. And that's what he told me, the ecosystem filter, the algae, the calopla is also hybrid lowering a lot of phosphate. But because we have fish, we have to feed the fish. We had to use some kind, a reactor. And the media that I like to use the cleanest, Robofoss.
Robofoss?
Yeah, but when you use RoboFrost, just make sure you do not overdose it, because what I look at it is like 1 mil of RoboFrost to 1 gallon of the water, cream water. The reason is that because when you add RoboFrost into a reactor, right away it drops down the pH at the alkalinity, and it will coming back out. So if you use more than 1 mil to a gallon, that's it drop down the cage too fast, too much. So, and that's why I keep telling people, if you keep KH in your tank, ideally you keep about 7 dKH.
7 dKH.
Seven, because it can drop down to 6 or so, no problem, because the natural sea water is about 5.5 to 6.8.
Do you think alkalinity swings are problematic? Are those something that reef keepers should be concerned about if it goes from 7 to 9 in a day or something? Or
it shouldn't be much problem, but try not to get the pH to 12. Hmm. When you get to that point, some corals start to stress out, especially when you go to about 14 dKH, I see the SPS, some SPS start to bleach out. So try to keep, you know, no more than, try to keep it around 7, 8. So you have a little cushion, you know, when you change the phosphate media absorber.
Do you have a preference in terms of alkalinity and calcium supplementation, two part calcium reactor along with Kalkwasser? Any recommendation in terms of using the ecosystem?
I did not have a lot of experience in that, Keita. It's just you, like I say before, it's just the Kalkwasser. And later on, might say something, you know, like the biocalcium from Tropic Marine. And 10 part Kalkwasser, 1 part Tropic Marine biocalcium. That's constitute the 2 part. And then later on, I used the balling method, but I kind of like not doing much anymore. So.
You're not doing balling light anymore?
Well, we made balling. Balling is basically the alkalinity, and calcium, magnesium, and another one, the mineral part.
Yep.
And then you have to adjust the magnesium separately, because you need to keep magnesium between 1300 1400. We don't understand all of that before. Now it's become okay. We need to do that. And so you have a lot more experience than me, Keith, on that one.
I played a little bit more around with stuff than you have there, Lang, in terms of going outside of the old school methods.
Yeah.
What about nutrient, trying to lock in nutrients to specific, parameters? I mean, do you buy into the nitrates and phosphates should be in 100-to-1 ratio?
Okay. My secret is that I never test all of those.
You never test that stuff. I didn't test phosphate, you know, for most of my reef keeping career. For a long time, I didn't test that.
But you probably have to test it, because it cannot reach too high.
Yeah, well, now I test.
This is what I find, Kate, when the phosphate reach near 0.04 ppm, I test cellular test kit. Then if it's more than that, the corals start to turn brown.
More than 0.04.
It should be less than 0.0. Point 0.03 or 0.03. It has to be, you know, less than that. Okay, so if you can keep 0.02, 0.03, that would be good. And that's depend on what we feed the fish too. So, and we tend, you know, for my tank, I tend to have a lot of fish. So.
Is that a way that you kind of can tweak nitrates and phosphates up and down in terms of the amount you're feeding your fish?
Yeah, well, you know, that's what I learned too. When the phosphate is high, it's also interrupt the denitrification. So it's done a lot of bad things, you know, the phosphate. So keep an eye on that, because it's interrupt the nitrification, it's interrupt the calcification. And if you do in a certain range, that's what I say, 0.01 1.03, you're good. The coil will grow. And in terms of talking about coil, and the people like to know, well, look at Sanjay Tang. What did he done recently? He has to prune them really heavily.
He has to. He's been doing a lot of fragging as of late. He's got, yeah. Colonies are going crazy out of hand.
Because I wrote in the Facebook to his post, you need to trim, because if you don't trim, the light cannot penetrate to the bottom, and it will die. It's just like not like in the ocean. We have sunrise, sunset. In our tank, is only sun, our light is only from the top. So, and I get this idea from Drake from Texas. He asked me why the coral in his friend tank died. It looked beautiful when Tyrell Gatton shoot it a few months ago. I said, it died from the bottom? Yeah, okay. That's what I told you. Because the coral grows so big and it shades the light to the bottom. And so when they don't have light long enough, they start to die. That's what we have live rock in the ocean, because the coral keep growing and it shades up the light. And but in the ocean, we have sunrise, sunset, so they can grow a lot further than in our tank. So, well, that's a new problem. So we have to keep trimming.
It's a good problem to have, right?
Well, I don't know. That's a lot of work. But
so, now, so you mentioned Poletta. I know he uses Miracle Mud. You mentioned Sanjay has been using Miracle Mud as well.
Yes. But Sanjay does not want to talk about it.
He doesn't want to talk about it. Well, next time I get him on here, I'll have to ask him.
He's very, very concerned with you. Let him say it at his own time. Keith, there's people here, okay? I know Steve Tyree a long time. I get him to work with me, but he never used Miracle Mud. Okay? So it's one of my friend, Rob Hildreth. He's the veterinarian. He hired me all of that in the early 1990s, when I set up the tropical fish store in here. So he see all of that. But to this day, he never used Miracle Mud. I don't know if he used it or not, but the last time I met him 10 years ago, no. So there's some people will, some people won, so what? So, and I know Mike a long time, since the end of 1997, and Mike and Sanjay are best friends. And I'm sure Sanjay's follow Mike, but he never used it until I get to what he needs. Then I send him the right information to him. That's why he tried. Okay? So we cannot force anyone to do anything.
So I see Nick is saying he uses Miracle Mud in a reactor with a seeping flow. I mean, is there a... Is the ecosystem like the best way to utilize a Miracle Mud, or can people kind of tweak the method?
Idea to put mud in the reactor and all that's from Paul Williams in England, and that's, you can get mineral out of that. You don't get anything else out of that. It's just mineral. And there's a better way, easier way to do than the putting in the reactor, but
You're saying you're not going to get all the benefits of Miracle Mud if you put it in a reactor.
You get mineral, but you don't get all the benefit. You don't get a denitrated filter. You get mineral. That's one of the things that I'm going after, Keith, is the mineral market in the bacteria market. Okay? So the whole thing is, we try to make things a little more simpler, so we can keep more hobbyists in your hobby. Because
right, it's getting too complicated. People getting frustrated and they're quitting.
Yeah, that's the reason right now. Is in the beginning, is people don't quit because it's easy. People quit is because it's too expensive or too difficult, and we try to simplify that so that anyone, putting this way, Keith. How many people can set up a beautiful tank? Like you just pull someone from the street, they want to set up tank. But if they use the Berlin guys like you, no way they can set up a beautiful thing like you, okay? No way they can be successful like that right away. But with the ecosystem filter, you look at Marcus Resch tank. That's his first marine tank. He never set up a saltwater tank before. And that his tank, I'm telling you, I go around a lot, I see a lot of tank. Not a lot of tank can impress me like Marcus tank, okay? And he does not use skimmer, and that's rank number 2 filter, okay? And so, well, in 2011 to 2013, I set up 4 identical tanks, like about 60 gallon, and identical, you know, we make acrylic ourselves, box and all, so we make all of that. And so the first tank, we just have the protein skimmer, no mud. And the second tank, we have protein skimmer with mud, but we turn on skimmer like 24/7.
Yep.
And the third one is we set up skimmer with mud, but the skimmer I turn on is only about 6 hours a day. And the last one, no skimmer, it's just the mud, 10 pounds. And this is what is going to, you know, what might say, don't say the best. Okay, now I'm saying, okay, what best? The one that the skimmer runs about 6 hours with the mud, that's the best.
That's the best in terms of the corals, the way the corals were looking?
The coral grow faster, and they have better color than the rest of the four tanks, okay? That's what I see. And the second best is the one without skimmer. It's just the mud. That's the second one. And the third one that runs skimmer 24/7 with the mud and might want me to call up the polluter system, it's going to yell. That, I'd say, is a little counterproductive. And it's not as nice as the one without skimmer. So there we go, 1, 2, 3. And the Berlin, just the skimmer, no mud. That we have a lot of problems with that. We have algae problem. We have all of, you know, when I do the study, I don't add any mineral. Okay?
So no trace elements getting dosed.
No elements, just do water chain. Okay, each tank, they get about 3 gallon water chain, 3 or 4 gallon.
How big are the tanks?
Like 2 feet by 2 feet by 2 feet. Is
like 60 gallons? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, you know, we make the filters small enough to fit, you know, it's about 10 pound and room to put a skimmer. So that's, yeah, the one that runs skimmers part-time, 6 hours. Now I change my mind, it runs between 7 and 8 because that's what Mike says, 7 is a lucky number, okay? And 8 is a lucky number for us, so 7, 8 is no problem. So do that. The coral, especially SBS, you know, for LPS and soft coral, I don't see any different, okay? But SBS, I can see the coral grow faster and better color.
So mud, skimmer on for 6 hours.
7 hours.
6, 7 hours. What about water changes? No water changes.
Well, It's really forgivable, Keith. You can do less. You can do maybe 5% a week, but not more than that.
Okay.
Okay. You can do less. It's a lot more stable in terms of water chemistries and all of that with this system.
Like, do you have to be worried about bottoming out your nutrients with the ecosystem? I mean, do you have to be concerned that you're going to, you know, it's going to be so efficient that it could drive phosphates and nitrates down to zero, or is that not a concern?
Well, in terms of nitrate go down to zero, we already see that through Marcus, what he talked about, okay? But the phosphate, you cannot drive down to zero because we keep feeding the fish and we keep introducing the phosphate. We need to keep it down. And if you control the phosphate, yeah, you will control the nitrate. You only need to worry about the nitrate. It cannot go to zero because when it goes to zero, the SPS will start to bleach out.
They're not going to be happy.
No, that's why Marcus, that's why Sanjay and Mike add ammonium chloride into the tank so the coral can grow. And in terms of coral grow, you can see, in Sanjay's tank, they grow a lot.
So are you a fan of dosing ammonia to a reef tank instead of nitrate?
Well, ammonia, well,
Like
eventually,
ammonia chloride or ammonium bicarbonate.
I never done that myself yet, because I keep playing and I keep a lot, I keep a lot of fish, so I never test all of that. It's just like I cannot be so 100% everything. So that's why I say I don't know everything. I count on other people to tell me too. But that's the thing, we need to find a way, and a simple way is to have to keep a hobby, people in a hobby, because the more we are in the hobby, the more business that we can run. People may be not setting up a lot of tank, buy a lot of things, but they keep buying things, okay? So the business always keep moving. That's what I believe, Peter, is that if we are going to hire people to appreciate this, then we need more people to stay in the hobby so they can visit, where the coral reef coming from, and so on, so on. And also, a lot of people propagate corals and all that, but we need to look at, we need to look at those people, where they're coming from, where those corals coming from, because we need them. Yeah. So they have to take care of that themselves.
So Lang, what I'm getting from what you're saying is simplicity rules. And that was really kind of like the way that a lot of us started in the hobby way back when, is that we didn't really add a lot of stuff to our tanks. It was pretty simplistic live rock, protein skimmer. You had some alkalinity, calcium supplementation. You did some water changes. You didn't add amino acids. You didn't dose bacteria. You weren't
No.
doing ICP testing and trace element, dosing. So what I'm getting from you is that the ecosystem is kind of a, going back to the roots of reef keeping and keeping it simple, and making it less burdensome for people in the hobby to not have to stress out about a lot of stuff that's going wrong with their tanks.
This is what I learned, Kate. There's some people who like gadget. They want to play around. They want to do this,
I've played with a
that.
few gadgets in my day.
And there's some people who like simplicity. We like different things. None two of us like the same thing, okay? It's just like we like different things. We like to eat different things, so on, so on. So we are different. And but with the ecosystem filter, yeah, the main thing is simplicity, the less maintenance. You don't have to be a chemist, and everything's taken care of. Most of it is just, if you set up a tank, just make sure you take care of your phosphate and take care of your calcium, magnesium, alkalinity. That's all you need to do. And you don't want to do you if you miss doing water change, there's no need to be freaked out, and it can get away from that. But if you do, that's good, but not too much. Not 20% a week. No,
That's too
5%.
much.
That's too much. Well, when we do too much, it become counterproductive. So that's what I say, about 5% is about right. And that's what Marcus told me a long time ago. If we do more than 7%, then it's not good. The coral not look good, but it's in this, 5 to 7%.
Lang, what about cycling a tank? How would you go about starting a new tank with the ecosystem? You know, how do you recommend people starting out? You know, there's a lot of ways to start a reef tank, and you could add a lot of denitrification, nitrifying bacteria to a system to kind of help that.
The cycle of this ecosystem filter is the same way, but it's take a little longer because the denitrification part is, you know, the ammonia, protein to ammonia to nitrate, and as we have nitrate to nitrogen. So, but this is the thing, Keith. That's why I say put the mud in the tray, okay? And then when people set up the new tank with the miracle mud, you can take the tray from your friend or buy from the shop that they are helped set up that tray in the tank for about, you know, 6-7 weeks or 2 weeks or 2 months, okay? Because in that tray, it has both aerobic and anaerobic bacteria, and that to have to speed up the cycle. Yeah. So, yeah, we have a way to do that. And, yeah, patience is everything. So it's the best thing. If you go too fast, it's not good. So patience. But, you know, like in the trade shows and all, we used to set up. When we set up with this filter, everything cleared up really fast. And not like when you set up the building system for, you know, do a lot of things to clean up.
I was going to ask you the in terms of cycling a tank, do you subscribe, Link, to the theory of you should be adding as many corals as possible to a new reef tank versus adding fish first?
I would do coral first.
Coral first.
Because coral are filler feed. They have to filler feed all the parasites.
And they can handle ammonia.
No. I'm talking after the cycle.
After the cycle.
Right. Not right away. Right away, you kill all it. So, no, you have to go with the law of the cycle, ammonia, nitrite, nitrate. But you don't have to put the fish. You just keep, you know, pretend that the fish there and you feed them. So the fish food, the fish eat it, become, you know, the fish poop and that protein that will, you know, the bacteria will grow and convert that to ammonia nitrite nitrate. So you don't have to put the fish in right away. Just keep feeding it. Just feeding the tank, pretend that the fish is there. So, and, you know, after a few weeks, you know, 6-7 weeks or so, just vacuum your gravel. You have gravel. I'll siphon out the detritus. And that's what I would do. I would not spend money to put a lot of fish, a lot of coral right away. We have a way to do it. We don't have to waste those live animals.
So you're cutting out a little bit more there, Lang. But so I know at the beginning we talked about your that first kind of big tank was a bare bottom tank. Are you still a an advocate of bare bottom tanks with the ecosystem system?
Well, when people keep the tank with the sand, I'd say just make sure when you do watershed wax your sand to keep it clean. And the reason, Keith, is that the detritus will find its way to the bottom of the sand.
Right.
And if you don't remove that, it's become more a nutrient sink. That's leak out nitrate and phosphate later on that one. So with the sand, yeah, you want the sand, just wax the sand when you do watershed.
Should you be doing like sections of the sand vacuuming every week in the water change? Can you do more than sections?
Yeah, I would, you know, vacuum section, whatever you'd call it. That's why because I set up a few tanks, it's just, okay, I don't want to deal with that, so bare bottom. So it's easy for me to siphon out with a whole small hole.
What, Lang, you know, a lot of things people run into these days are cyanoblooms, bryopsis, bubble algae. There's a lot of you know, easy ways to combat those by using chemicals. What do you advocate in terms of tackling those problems? Because I know you're not gonna recommend using chemicals.
No, I'm not. In terms of bubble algae, the fox face, right?
Fox face, yeah, great yeah. Way to get natural predator, yeah.
They eat bubble algae.
Yep.
And you have to move by hand, but there's no chemical that can do that. I don't know. There are chemicals
out there that say that they can remove bubble algae, but it's got collateral damage, I would say.
Yeah. Don't go through with everyone, you know, especially manufacturers tell you. They don't do a lot of experiment and all of this. They just want to make money. I'm sorry. They don't do the study. They just put it out there, sell it to you and make money. So, yeah, fox face is good to combat the bubble algae. But in terms of cyanobacteria and all that, phosphate.
Control your phosphate.
Yeah, not the liquid phosphate. Yeah, it's the robophos is the best one in the reactor. Because, Keith, the dry rock that people made has a lot of phosphate embedded in the rock there, okay? And until those phosphate leach all out, you're going to have that problem. The cyanobacteria, the nuisance algae. So in the new setup and all thing, yeah, you cannot do any coral right away. Because there's a lot of phosphate in the rock, and they are going to continue to give that problem. So you have to take care of that phosphate. It's the way that they can release from the rock is osmosis. So when you do the phosphate reactor with, you know, with the phosphate media, it removes the phosphate from the water column. So there's less water in the water column, so it starts leaking out from the rock until you get most of that out, and it's okay. And that's why people ask me today, so dry rock, this is dry rock, or dry rock is better than live rock? I say, no.
I'm with you on that one.
Huh?
I am with you on that one.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, people take a lot of things. But just like I say, it's the most important question, Keith, is this. Can I use other people's substrate in the ecosystem filter beside Miracle Moon? Okay, that's what people like to ask, but you wouldn't.
So meaning that other companies have substrate, can you use that substrate in your ecosystem?
Question, because when they look at Miracle Moon, it's more expensive. Yes, it's more expensive. And can I use, like, you know, other substrate, Wild Smith, KFC, or Julian Spam? Yes, you can. No problem. But this is the thing. You get only the refusion part. You don't get the ecosystem part of it, the benefit. Like, I do the test. I compare the mud, you know, the KFC, Wild Smith, and Miracle Mud. And so I grow the, you know, cheetah morpha, and I grow the quartz, and all identical. Okay? The cheetah morpha only grow in the ecosystem filter with Miracle Mud. And the zooplankton's only growing that too, but not in the KFC nor in Fiji. So the question is now is that, yeah, it's a little more expensive, but this is the benefit that you have. You don't have to spend money anymore on the zooplankton, live zooplankton. And you don't have to add any more additives. And if you want to get money, not just to grow chicken more, you harvest that and sell it. Okay. If you use it as a substrate beside Miracle Mud, you cannot get that. And if you have the fish that you can get fish cheaper from the store because they have HLLE, that can be reversed, can heal in the ecosystem filter, but not in your in other substrate. So just look at it, you know, how much extra that you pay for the miracle, but that's the benefit, we call it ecosystem benefit. Refusion, yeah, you get it. You can use any substrate, no problem. And save money, yeah, you certainly get it.
What Lang, what about pods, like copepods? You know, is that something that you should be adding a lot of at the beginning, especially with the ecosystem? No.
I don't even know all of that.
They just come in on the dry or the live rock, and they'll multiply, and you're good to go.
Yeah, that's what it is. When Mike visited me at the end of 1997, he talked about planktons, and I said, "What are you talking about?" I look at it, it was just like, "What are you talking about?" I don't know all of that. Okay, so now, yeah, it's all of this zooplankton. It's, you know, when we set up a tank before, we put live rock and all that's coming from that. But I don't know if it do the dry rock, we have all of that. But it should have, because like if you do the wild core, it should be coming from that too. Okay, so it's well, fake. That's all.
Well, what's your opinion on old tank syndrome? You know, a reef tank that's been up and running for a long time, and then all of a sudden you're starting to see some issues with the tank. Is that a real thing?
No, not in the ecosystem filter. That's because we don't add any chemical additives, so there's no such thing as old tank syndrome. In the Berlin system, you add all of those, and some use up and some not. So I believe what it is that is accumulate, and it reaches a certain point that it backfires on that. And so that's in terms of chemical old tank syndrome, and it's just the accumulation of chemical additive that we don't know. And eventually you reach to a point that is deadly. With the ecosystem filter, now the mud is released comprehensive mineral, and you have to replace it, you know, to retain it. So, and you never add any extra to it.
Another question I got for you, Lang. Would it help to have an additional sump with live rock attached to the ecosystem? In other words, like a cryptic sump. Let's say you got an additional sump that's all blacked out from light, and you've got a whole bunch of extra live rock in that sump. Is that something that could be beneficial?
It's only your money, Keith.
Does more money you spend, you don't need it, is what you're saying?
Yeah, you want to play around, that's fine. It's just like people ask me, can I have more than one inch and a half of mud? And I say, it's your money.
But you only need an inch.
Just need, you know, every 12 inch by 8 inch, you need 10 pounds. That's come out to about 1 inch to 1 inch and a half mud. And that's a proper denitrification. And it'll release the mineral, okay? But if you have 2 inch, 3 inch, I don't see any more benefit. It's the same thing. So that's why I tell people, and Keith, I'm not a good businessman.
Because you're telling people, don't waste your money buying more than what you really need.
That's what I keep telling people. And yeah, I like you to make more money. I like to make more money, but I cannot.
In good conscience, tell people to.
It's going to come back to me. So, I like to make money a little bit from everyone, and not so much kill you in the first shot. No.
You know, one thing we haven't talked about, Lang, is, and I'm not sure this really matters in the equation, lighting. You know, LEDs, metal halides, T5 lighting. Is any of that? Do you have any opinions on that?
I do not have any opinion. I used to use metal halide before, and I ran into bad experience with LED. And when I set up a tank for my friend in San Diego, I set up a metal halide. And then one day walking there, he removed all the metal halides, all gone, and put all the halide. What are you doing? But then I stopped. It started to change my mind because, you know, LED certainly can retain SPS core. Look a lot nicer. But, you know, he bought
heavy blues.
He bought the Ecotex Marine.
Yeah.
Radeon. So that's changed my mind. You know, okay, LED. Well, you know, that's, I say, okay, good. And I look at it, the core dot. Do not die, so it's okay. So LED, good core, good color. That's all I can see. But before, no, I'm stuck with the male halide, but not after I see that. So LED is good for SPS. Right now, I see a lot of LPS go under LEDs, no problem.
So Drew Young brought up something that's interesting, because if you Google Miracle Mud, you might see it being sold by Carib C. That's a different product, right?
Carib C, the mineral mud, but they put their Miracle Mud. No, they violate me on that one. So
that's that's a legal thing.
That's not legal for them to do that. And but what can we do, kids? I'm weak right now, so
yeah.
It's and that's what
a shame.
I'm saying.
You know, that's a shame that that stuff goes
really,
on.
And you know, it's for us to make the product, and that's what I'm saying. Do not believe in everything to those people who make the product. Look at their reputation, what they do, and. Yeah, Ken Marine, you know, Garlic Alexa in the beginning, and Garlic, you know, and Ken Marine come with Garlic Extreme. They copy the name, they copy everything. Yeah, it's the same product, it's cheap. That's what they tell people, you know, through their network, their salesmen. But no, it's not. The product is not the same. It's just like what we talk about. Yeah, can you use a substrate beside Miracle Mud? Yeah, you can, but it's not the same. You get one thing, but not the rest of the thing. So
Lang, what's your plan moving forward? What's the future hold for Ecosystem?
I'm coming back, and my end goal is to have to, you know, to build up a hobby, and especially try to get more lady into the hobby.
More women into the hobby.
Yeah, more, because it will help our industry a lot more. And I think I have a way to do that, okay? Because the Seahorse tank, for example, it's I don't know, you don't have to feed them anymore. Yeah, you just have to clean the tank a little bit. And if you want to do water change, just one scoop in, one scoop out every day. That's all it is. And we have to bring more people in and see what they like, and that's going to help all of us and so on. And the Ecosystem filter kit for freshwater, for koi pond, is certainly the absolute best filter for that, okay? But we're talking marina, so a better filter per mic. But yeah, if you combine the skimmer around 7 hours or so, yeah, the best one. And also, this is the thing, kids, and we talk. Marine fish only tank, people set up with live rock, you know, with rock and all that. They cannot make any money out of the marine fish tank. And they only spend money on that. But the way we do, you can grow certain coral that the fish don't eat, don't bother, or go too fast. You can have any fish you want. And you can make money, profit, or sell it. Okay, we have that, and that's what I'm saying. That in the new room, what we are going to do, and like so. In terms of, you know, this is a hobby we like to enjoy, but one way if we can add to that, if we can get this hobby to pay for itself, so we don't have to keep spending more money to it.
Yes, it's expensive. It can get expensive, but it doesn't have to be.
It does not have to be, and we have it, okay? We found a way to do that. Because, you know, for one thing, with the Eagles and Filter, you can grow Chittamorpha. You have us, and you sell it if you want. And that's been studied a long time ago by our customer. Within 1 year, if you sell that, you get all the money back for the filter. No other filter can do that. Okay, with the ecosystem filter, you can. We're not talking about saving money or not. No, we only talk about selling Chittamorpha algae. That's it. We're not talking about the coral growth, propagate coral. Well, look at Sanjay Tang. How much money can you make from this coral flake?
Yeah. Okay?
So that we don't talk about that because that's anyone can do. So, but we just go to the filter.
And the filter does not need light unless you want to grow the Cato, which you would have a separate chamber for.
No. You grow in the refugium chamber because the first section of the filter, you know, we designed to put either bioball or a protein skimmer.
Okay.
And then
that's
chamber. That's where we put the large part that we put the mud in the tray, and you can grow Chittamorpha in there.
But if you don't want to grow the Chittamorpha, you don't need light.
You don't need light. Yeah. You don't grow Chittamorpha. But with all the money you spend, just invest a little bit more, put the light on that, and the whole thing is about this: when you grow Chittamorpha, it works synergy to the mud. Okay, it helps to reduce nitrate and phosphate, so you use less row phos. Okay, and also it stabilizes your pH because the Chittamorpha is going to absorb CO2 and spit out oxygen, so you don't have to put air, stone, and all that anymore. The oxygen that released by the algae is a lot more cleaner, more pure, more richer, and but the main thing is just to keep the pH more stabilized.
I've tried to grow Cato in a refugium. I've tried to grow it in an algae reactor, and I've always had issues trying to keep the stuff alive.
You don't use the right product.
I don't use the right product. There you go. I should have been using the Miracle Mud with the Eagles system.
You put Miracle Mud in there, that will take off.
That was my mistake.
Well, you listen to
it. I wish I'd known this a while ago, Lang, and I wouldn't have been spending so much money on the Cato there.
you did not speak to the right person.
No, I blew it.
Yeah. Try that, you will see. Okay, and yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. You do your own experiments, so you interview yourself.
Yeah, there you go. You learn something new every day in this hobby, I always say. So.
And this is the thing, why the skimmer runs 6-7 hours and 24 hours. The whole thing is the collection of the skimmer. This is the same as you run part-time, you run full-time. Why you run more then? That's what I found out, you know, the one that we run in the Berlin system, the one that we run in the Paletta system, and the one that we run in Pata, it's the same collection amount.
Yeah.
So that's what we found out.
So Lang, listen, I appreciate you spending so much time with us tonight. This has been a fascinating discussion. I've learned a lot. Just so people know where to go to purchase your products, it's ecosystemaquarium.com.
ecosystemaquarium.com, or they can email me. Don't call me because I don't answer the phone. I don't know. So email me best, or go to ecosystemaquarium.com. And we have other people selling bulk resupply salads and the Vasco aquariums, and well, they sell to the store. So
local fish stores,
okay. Well, the local store, there's so many people sell it now.
Yeah. All right, Lang. Well, listen, thank you so much for taking the time to join us. I've really enjoyed this conversation.
Thank you, Pete. Thank you.
So, folks, that's going to do it for this show. And I also want to thank my sponsors one more time, Champion Lighting and Supply. Besides being a place for hobbyists, purchase saltwater aquarium supplies online. Champion Lighting is also a wholesale distributor for many popular brands. If you own an aquarium store or an aquarium service company, contact Champion Lighting through their website at championlighting.com to set up a wholesale account. Polo Reef, make sure to check out Polo Reef's new YouTube video that drops this Friday and the new Polo podcast with Chad Clayton from Reef Nutrition. They dive into phytoplankton and copepods. They discuss the various species, the importance of nutritional diversity, and their 3 million gallon phyto and pod operation. Make sure to subscribe to their YouTube channel at Polo Reef for video drop notifications. Finally, Fauna Marine. I do use the Fauna Marine Reef ICP Total Test Kit, which gives a quick, accurate, and easy overview of over 90 water values in reef aquariums, from macro elements to trace elements and pollutants. You get a complete overview with corresponding dosage and action recommendations. I'm now a certified Fauna Marine ICP test advisor, so if you want help interpreting your results, then select Reef Bomb. You can also purchase ICP test kits. That's a tongue twister. ICP test kits, as well as other Fauna Marine products at reefbum.com. A big thank you to Paul, who's the moderator as well as the president of the Boston Reefer Society. Please join and support your local reefing clubs. They are so important to this hobby. I also saw Greg Carroll in the chat. He's also another moderator that sometimes drops in. Thanks, Greg. Finally, I want to let you know that all episodes of Rap on the Reef Bum are available as podcasts on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Amazon. My next Rapping with the Reef Bump live stream will be next Tuesday, July 9th, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. My guest will be Tony Vargas. So you can check out all the full upcoming schedule of guests on reefbump.com under the YouTube section. Until then, be safe and be well.